This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, and just Western PA in general and across Stellar's Nation as it's another day of training camp. It's one day closer to the first preseason game. Kabali's laughing because he insists that I'm freezing, and maybe I am, but welcome in to Kabali and Matt. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, all over the place. We appreciate you joining us. Seriously, we do. We thank you for joining us and dealing with whatever nonsense we've got planned for you today. Follow us on all the social media at Kabali and Mac. That's X, that's Facebook, that's TikTok. Of course, Instagram, if you're one of the first 500 followers, you might win a $100 Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate. Look at that pretty baby just waiting for you. Once we get to 500 Instagram followers, we'll draw a winner for that. And of course, if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, which we only got like 350 to go there, we're up to... what's the number? I wrote it down. 2,153 to be exact. Once we get to 2,500, we'll draw a winner for that autographed Paul Skeens baseball from our friends at First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village. We thank them for being on board, obviously. And of course, the Dan Heck team. We got to appreciate them for being a part of the show as well here on Kabali and Mac. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are there to take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team. Doesn't matter what kind of home you're looking for, they'll help get you into the right one in the Pittsburgh area. Welcome into, today's Thursday, right, Kaboom?
You're asking the absolute wrong person.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day, right?
I know it's August 7th because it's my wife's birthday. It's also Sidney Crosby's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Some really
great
good
humans.
Some wonderful people with incredible patience born on August 7th. I know it's August 7th. I think it's Thursday. It's definitely Thursday. I don't know what day of camp it is, like 13 maybe.
They reported on the Wednesday, so this would be officially day 15. They've been up here, but 14, probably what, 12 practices now, something like that.
Because they had a rain out.
They got one today and two next week before breaking camp and done.
Well, they have the two fill me in on this because I want to talk. Aaron Rodgers talked about it a little bit, and we'll play the clip in just a couple minutes. They have the Tampa Bay Bucks coming into town for next Saturday's preseason game at Heinz Field on Evercolor Acrisure Stadium. But they'll have dual practices with the Bucks too. Are those in Latrobe or are those on a SA side?
those are actually at Acrisure, I'll never call it Heinz Field again stadium. That will be on Thursday, not open to the public. They do that on purpose. They used to open those suckers to the public. Maybe not the they had a couple up here a couple years ago, but they closed them to the public, put them in Acrisure so they can basically do whatever they want. They can run whatever they want schematic-wise and not give it away to those nebby fans with the cameras in the stand. So if you're wondering why that Acrisure practice is closed to the public, it's because that guy next to you in the stands taking video and posting it on the tweeter machine. That's why.
The tweeter machine. Have you ever heard Nebshinsky is like a longer version of Neb?
I have no idea what you're saying. You are absolutely frozen, Mac.
Totally.
Here's what's weird. You know, this is strange here because I got you also on the live on my phone to see if you're jamming up. And you're not jamming up on my phone, but you're jamming up on my computer.
It's at hotel Wi-Fi you're on. I'm telling you, that's the problem. So I guess she'd be my grandmother-in-law. She used to use the word Nebshinsky all the time. Instead of just saying you were Nebby, you were a Nebshinsky.
See, I don't know if Nebby. I like the word Nebnose.
Nebnose is good. It's basic.
I'm very Nebby in my community. Every time it's like somebody's out there doing something, I'm like peeking through the blinds.
You are.
My wife's like, you're like an old man. I'm like, you know it.
You're not like an old man. You are an old man. You're a total Nebshinsky.
I'm peeking in there and say, he better not pull into my driveway.
It's kind of part of your job, too, to be Nebby, to be honest. You got to ask people questions that they don't want to answer, really. Part of the gig of being Kaboom.
Do you think many people know what Nebby means outside of Pittsburgh? I don't even know.
You don't, that is pretty distinct Pittsburghese. Hop in the chat if you're watching live on YouTube or X or even after.
Our of our Ireland friends.
Yeah. How many of you actually know what Nebby means? We got a bunch of Yinzers. What are we talking about? They all know what
Yinzers becoming worldwide, so
it is. Thanks to our boy Pat McAfee, who speaking of Phil Maines, who works with the Pat McAfee show pretty closely, and his boys with Pat and all the guys, all those plum guys, thick as thieves, as they say. Phil is hosting the third annual Maines Family Golf Outing on Saturday, and we'll be there for it. We're going to do a live version of the show. Knowing our technological limitations, I'm curious to see how well it goes. But obviously, if you're going to be out there for the Maines Family Golf Outing on Saturday, stop by and say hello. We'll be in the middle of doing a show, but as you can tell, we don't care. Just stop by and say hi. And the outing is full. I mentioned yesterday that there might be a few spots left. There ain't no spots left. No, it's packed. It's jammed. It's going to be an awesome day out there. And we'll be a part of it Saturday at the third annual Maines Family Golf Outing, all to benefit the American Heart Association. Looking forward to that. Let's just jump right in.
Busy Saturday there, Mac, though. You're going to Shaboozy, and I'm going to Archie's. Shaboozy,
Jesus. It's Jason Aldean.
Oh, whatever. It's no difference.
It's country music. It's all the same.
Busy Saturday, huh?
You got your watch party at Archie's on Saturday.
Yeah, you got to pay attention and see what's happening in the game for the big 3 minutes that anybody who's actually playing will be playing.
Stop it.
It's true.
Stop it. Here we go. Somebody actually already said, watching on YouTube, the only reason I know about the word Nebby is from Pat. So there you go.
Yeah, it's one more reason why to watch it.
Yep. Yinzer Pittsburghese has gone worldwide. We've got to thank our friends from Southwest Greens, too. We appreciate them for supporting the show. I actually already talked to Jake this morning. He was busy, looking good in his Southwest Greens polo, getting ready to get work done today. You need your yard taken care of, as in you're tired of cutting it. You're tired of watering it, especially this time of year where everything dries up and dies. You're tired of spraying stuff on it for the bugs and the weeds and everything. Get a hold of Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They'll come out and tell you what they can do for you as far as beautiful artificial surface. Looks real, acts real, great for you and your family. You want to enjoy the lawn. almost year round. I mean, because you don't have to worry about taking care of it at all. Good for the kids, good for the pets. Even if it's just a little area around the swing set or around the play area, around the pool, a little putting green maybe for you if you're a big golfer, get a hold of Jake at Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. So the first thing we got yesterday, or one of the first things we got right after practice, was a quick update from Coach T on Will Hard.
And injury. He's got a broken finger. It can be characterized as week to week. You know, he's looking at his options. Man, I have more information when it's definitive, but he's certainly out this week. It appears to be non-surgical, and so we'll see what the Rose lead is there.
So it sounds like he said Will Howard's exploring his options, which is interesting, but then he also said it's non-surgical. So it sounds like they're leaving the door open, Tomlin did and a couple other people, to maybe Will Howard getting back for some preseason action, but I don't know. Busted pinky on the throwing hand doesn't sound likely.
Yeah, I don't even know how much of a pinky it is. I think it's in that gray area of, as we can see here, pinky, but towards the handish, like this area. Because when he was taking the snap, the ball, wham, hit him there at a wrong angle. And I don't know if it was just a pinky. I'm just totally assuming, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I do read – do follow Dr. Chow, so
but, basically makes you one.
So what I'm saying is I don't know how much that is surgically repaired if you just put a pin in. If it was just a pinky, you just put a pin in and it heals within, you know, a week or two. But I'm guessing there's some gray area to it. I wouldn't anticipate him coming back this preseason whatsoever. And even what Rogers says, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. It is a more of a learning year from him. However, you would have loved to get him some preseason snaps here. That's the only downfall. The only thing, if this were to happen, say, the fourth quarter of the Panthers' third preseason game, I mean, nobody would bat an eyelash. But missing some of these preseason snaps will probably hurt a little bit. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it will.
You said yesterday he was trying to hide it a little bit, but he had like a little brace thing on, kind of like on that part of the hand and the wrist.
Over it. But I saw him coming down the steps, and he had a brace and like a long sleeve over it. It looked like a wrist guard onto the, you know, onto the back end of the pinky type. Sort of like if you ever have carpal tunnel syndrome.
No, but I know the braces you're talking about.
Put that brace on there, and it keeps your hands free. It almost looked like one of those. Similar.
Okay. So no high fives for the little kids as he was walking down.
No, he had to do the lefty. He was protecting it. It was like
had it tucked in.
Yeah, those kids, man, they'll take you out.
Yeah, especially that Kabali kid, Kaboom Jr.
Oh, let me tell you, man, I've never seen a group of kids. There had to be 60, 70 kids between a couple of schools that love TJ Watt more than those guys. They were blowing off Cam Hayward. They blowing off Aaron Rodgers. It didn't matter. They wanted to see number 90.
All about TJ.
It's I mean, in a popularity contest amongst, you know, younger, you know, 14, 15 and younger, it's probably TJ here, everybody else down here. I don't even think the kids even know anybody else. They know
Aaron Rodgers. Come on.
If you look at the video I posted.
I did.
Aaron Rodgers was the first one through, and they just went,
yeah, that guy.
Then it was Kenny Gainwell. Then it was TJ. So they didn't even care. It was TJ.
Aaron Rodgers might as well be your grandpa to them.
He's probably as old as them, right? Come on, those kids, yeah, they're 8, 10. You have your kid at whatever. Yeah. I think I think we have to give a shout out to none other than Zach Frazier and Christian Kuntz of having little babies. I think yesterday or the day before or something. So
they get to skedaddle off away from camp.
He was at camp yesterday, I think. Kuntz. Yeah, I did see him. So I don't know when it was. It was a day or so, maybe. Maybe it was last night. But
good job squeezing that kid out. I got to get back to Latrobe.
Yeah, I got to get those long snaps into Corliss Waitman. Yeah, but friend of the program. Little gray Kuntz.
What's the name again?
Gray.
Gray. I like that. That's good.
But it's EY, not AY.
No, maybe that's cool.
Grayson. I don't know.
We actually had a big talk with our daughter, who's 16 now and acting extremely like a 16-year-old. But she talked to us a little bit on vacation about how she doesn't like her name. I was like, what do you mean you don't like your name? You just picked the most popular name. No, we didn't. We didn't know your name was going to be popular when we picked it.
Yeah. When I picked my kid's name, we thought it was not popular, too, until he went to school.
And there's four other kids.
Baseball, and there were seven kids in each grade named. I'm like, what? Where'd this come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we didn't do it on purpose to, like, ruin your childhood that you got the same name as, like, nine other kids in your grade. I'm sorry.
You could have named it Chris. You get John.
Yeah, how about?
I always like doing that. I always like going through what names would you not name kids? What names have basically become extinct?
Like, there's no Georges anymore. Ethel. Nobody names their kid George.
Gretchen, Ethel.
Ethel.
Beverly. I mean, you're not going to name your kid Beverly, right?
No, you're not going to go to, like, a kindergarten classroom and find any Bevs wandering around unless it's the teacher.
That's what I'm saying. There's some names that are extinct.
Deb. There's not a lot of Debs anymore.
Yeah, but Beverly's my favorite, I guess. Beverly. Who's going to name the kid Beverly?
Nobody in this day and age. Aaron Rodgers did talk at length with the media yesterday. Talked about a number of different things. One of the things we've been talking about a lot this week is Rodgers and whether he'll play at all in the preseason or not. And he was asked about playing in the preseason, whether he will, his thoughts on playing in the preseason, just in general as well.
It's an interesting conversation. I think Mike and I will have that at some point. I don't think it's in the plan for me to play this week, but whatever Mike wants to do, I'm fully on board. If he wants me to go out there and play, I'll play. If not, then I won't. I've said a lot, with all due respect, then I can say whatever I want. Preseason football is not necessarily real football because the defenses just don't do a whole lot. And the offenses don't either. So you go out there with a very limited playbook against the defenses playing one-eye zone, one-eye man, or two-eye zone. And there's not much pressure. There's oftentimes communication between the coaches about, hey, we're not going to pressure this week, or hey, we need to see a little bit of pressure. It's really about the operation. Now, that is where you can actually gain something from the preseason is you got 40 seconds. Right, there's a play clock out here, but it's not always adhered to. So you have 40 seconds to call the play, to get the line of scrimmage, to get us in the right situation, and to go out and do it. And I think there's something to be gained for that. But as opposed to kind of when I got in the league, I would say, there's less schematic stuff that you're going to see in the regular season.
So Aaron Rodgers basically saying, yeah, preseason doesn't matter. It's not very helpful at all, other than like the actual mechanics of getting the play in, getting a call, getting to the line and making adjustments. Again, Mike Tomlin's not going to give us any clues, probably not later today, and tomorrow they don't practice. So we're not going to get much of a hint other than what Rodgers just said there as to whether he's going to play at all or not, especially Saturday. But it doesn't sound like he feels there's a need for a ton of reps in the preseason, which you've been saying for a while.
Although I would expect him to say here at noon that Aaron's not playing. Some of the other ones, he said, I will make a decision. I would assume that's the route he's going down right now. And honestly, how much do you really need? I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for 18 years. I know the 40-second clock and him being new to it and getting in and out of the huddle is important. But, man, if it's that important, do it for a series next week. I don't see any positives of him going out there and playing this week, next week, or the week after that. There's only bad things can happen if he's out there. And he is 41. Could you imagine where you're at if he does get hurt? I mean, nobody thought Russell Wilson was going to get hurt, and that threw some things in a wrench as well, threw a wrench in plans as well, but I mean, these are professionals. If you can't get in and out of the huddle in 40 seconds and play at a pace that you need to, then maybe you shouldn't be playing. Maybe it takes a series. Maybe that series is next week. Maybe that series is in, joint practice. But I don't see any benefit from him. As he said, with all due respect, Mac, you're a piece
you
of
can crap. Say anything when you say all due
you're,
respect.
You're a piece of crap. He's true.
With all due respect, no I think offense. You're a moron.
You know what? Oh, my God. A guy I used to work with looked with another guy, and he said, hey, no offense, but your girlfriend's getting big. I'm like, what? I mean, no offense.
With all due respect, no offense, but your girlfriend's got a tank ass.
Yeah. No offense. He got a point there. You can say whatever yeah. you want after
you say that. You can say whatever you want after that. It's free for all. So he's not interested in playing in the preseason. I still stand firm in the fact that I'd like to see him get some chemistry with some of his receivers, with some live game reps. But like you point out, those dual practices with the Bucs next week in a closed environment where they don't have to worry about anybody peeking in on what they're doing may be more of an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and plus, you know, you can control the hitting as well. And in a game, you can take a guy's head off if you want to. This doesn't really happen. I mean, these joint practices are good if the guys keep their heads on straight, which typically does not happen.
Yeah, you'll get at least one or two fights somewhere.
I mean, it gets counterproductive at times if that's all they do is fight and fight and fight and fight. So if you can stay away from that, it is quite productive. I could see that being the future of this league. Dump all the preseason, have a joint practice, and hey, let's roll it out there for 18 games. I could see that eventually happening. Maybe not this year, next year, or whenever, but eventually.
Yeah, no, I've been saying that for a while, that when they finally get around to restructuring the next CBA, look, I mean, preseason games aren't a ton of fun for the fans in the stands either. Like, in a place like Pittsburgh, where it's tough to get tickets for the regular season, some people take it as their opportunity to actually go to a game and experience everything at Heinz Field. But, you know, it's a watered-down experience. It's not like an actual regular season game day experience. So, you know, for the players, yeah, the dual practices, a couple of those might be enough to work out some of those kinks that Rodgers is talking about. He was asked about those joint practices too.
Yes, I believe so. For the first
what is
team.
The difference?
Because teams are, especially most of the joint practices, I would say, you're not going to play that team in the regular season. So they're less worried about showing things that they want to work on. And even though there usually are cameras there and it's filmed, they're less skittish about running the stuff they've been running all camp that they're going to try and do in the regular season against another team that you're not going to play in the regular season. So I found those beneficial. As long as there's not a lot of fights, I think they're a good work day for the first team.
So he's saying basically, he's not saying, if you read between the lines, he's saying, yeah, we'll get done whatever we need to get done in the joint practices as long as they stay pretty well controlled.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key part of it. Plus, I mean, like I said, you don't have to worry about the fans in the stands taking video and shooting it all out there. I mean, they don't play Tampa this year as well. So there might be, you know, a gentleman's agreement there of, hey, whatever we run here, shut your mouth, both sides, which I would imagine would be the case. So there should be some good action or good work being done that day. You would like to see everybody involved too. And as for you were mentioned earlier about trying to get some cohesion between Rodgers and some of the guys, I don't think Rodgers needs any more cohesion with DK Metcalf.
No.
If those guys are not on the same page, they're one page ahead of everybody right now.
That good, huh? Well, yeah. Rodgers said yesterday, because he was asked at the beginning a couple times if, you know, the offense was starting to click a little bit more the last few days. And you can read Aaron's face pretty easily, I think. When he was asked that question, if things were less fuzzy, I think is the way Mike Pursuta worded it. He said, well, things haven't really been fuzzy anyway. I'm paraphrasing, but he said they've really started to click over the last few days. And going back to the Sunday practice that we watched, when things didn't go well for the offense at all, it sounds like since then, it's only been a couple practices, but it sounds like it's gone really well, and the offense is starting to find maybe a little cohesion, even with Austin out, even with guys on the defensive side of the ball taking some rest days.
That might be the key there, though.
Yeah. I mean,
no Jalen Ramsey, no Darius Slay. Porter's been working his way back in there. Maybe that's just a precursor of what we're going to get from the secondary combined with the team trying to learn right now. But it has, since Ramsey's been out, I don't know, he's missed two practices in a row. There's been no news of injury. It might be just giving him a rest. I'm not quite sure. But the offense tend to pick it up when he wasn't out there. I mean, Highsmith's not out there. Hayward hasn't been out there for team periods. Watts intermittent as always. So this is not your – when you say this offense is looking good, and it has looked a lot better, it's not against the Steelers defense that we saw last week that just totally dominated them. It's different.
Yeah.
Different guys.
And again, as we're talking it out here this morning, I'm actually coming to the realization that those controlled practices, those joint practices with Tampa next week may be where they decide. And I don't know how, you know, they can basically do whatever they want. It's a practice. It's not a game. It's not even really a scrimmage. They can roll guys out there for as many snaps as they want. So if they want TJ or Aaron Rodgers or DK Metcalf or Cam Hayward or Jalen Ramsey or anyone else who's a veteran to get their best work in during the preseason, yeah, might be in that spot.
Maybe in the future here they can go to Carlisle and take on Reds.
Remember when they used to do
Commanders.
That? Yeah, Washington. Just go with Washington.
Well, at the time it was the Redskins. So
yes, it was.
You're allowed to call them it.
Do they? They don't go to Carlisle anymore, do they?
Nobody goes there. But you remember, is that where it was, Carlisle?
Yeah.
The bus there?
Even during the Cower days, they would do that. They would bus out to Carlisle or Washington would come here.
That was definitely before my time. That was all training camp here in a couple of years, COVID at Acrisure, or it might have been Hinesville at the time. But I just don't anticipate seeing much Saturday. I mean, the question mark is to me, is Broderick Jones going to play? I think if he's healthy enough, I think he will. I don't think Sam Molly will play at all, but I think they want to get Jones out there if he's healthy. But you're not going to see those guys on the defense. You're not going to see Ramsey, Hayward, Watt, Queen,
Slay,
maybe Porter. Who else am I thinking here?
I think that's pretty much, you know.
Smith. I mean, Herbig will play, Sawyer will play. Those guys will play. You'll probably see a lot of Caleb Johnson.
I said it yesterday. The guy I'm most excited to watch on Saturday night because of how many guys are not going to play is Jack Sawyer. I stand by that. I'm excited to see him make a couple of plays.
Yeah, I like to see him. I mean, you're going to see a lot of Mason. You're going to see a half of Mason, right? I'm just curious too, and I don't know the answer to this if they're going to bring in another quarterback. In terms of what they need to finish out practice before the regular season, they don't really need one because they're breaking camp here in three practices. I mean, you can get away with three guys at that point because they're not really using that fourth guy too very much. Now, if it lingers to the regular season, you'd always like to have that third guy as an option or as the emergency quarterback. What do you do there? But what's out there that makes you feel good to bring him in? So maybe they do bring a guy in just to take some snaps here, but I can't get a good feeling on that one yet.
The only name I saw that made me raise my rock eyebrow just a little bit was maybe Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere to be a third string quarterback, I don't think.
Yeah, he's made a ton of money. Why would he come here just to putz around? Yeah. You don't even need that. You'd probably need like a practice squad type of guy. Like I said, a guy that just can take some snaps. That's all you want it for. You know you're coming in here. We're giving you some money, not much.
Yeah.
You're going to get cut probably, but at least you'll be on a roster here and be able to maybe play in a game or two.
So that's it.
I mean, that's our pitch to you.
Yeah, it's not highly attractive unless you're like an Ian Book type guy who just needs to get some snaps and be on a roster. So hopefully someone picks you up.
Somebody, I mean, who told me this? They just weren't impressed by any of the Notre Dame quarterbacks whatsoever. And I don't know how far back we go there. I don't know if it was this year, last year, or multiple years. So Yeah, nice to get a guy like Josh Dobbs, but he's in New England, right?
Yeah, he's got a gig. New England, where Mike Vrabel's getting beat up at practice.
Do it while you can do it, right?
I guess. I don't buy into... Am I crazy for not buying into all the Vrabel hype? Like, it just...
Well, don't buy into it until they win 10 games this year. Then it's all of a sudden there goes the legend of Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, but what's look at their roster. What's to give you hope that they could win more than 8 games?
I guess the quarterback.
I mean, he's good.
Bobby Spillane.
But who's he who's he going to throw to? Stephon Diggs, that's it.
Don't they have, what's his name?
Who?
Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne?
I don't know. I mean, they got decent running backs.
Yes.
Their defense should be okay. I mean, it's not like the AFC East is just loaded with talent.
No, those Buffalo Bills are terrible.
Oh, the Jets stink. The Dolphins stink.
Okay. I'll get with you there. Oh, they got the barefoot guy, Mac Hollins, too. New England. They brought him in. So there you go.
Who would you think would win in the fight? Dan Campbell or Mike Vrabel?
Campbell.
Two men enter, one man leave, right?
Campbell leaves. Kneecap biter.
Vrabel, though. That's a tough one.
I don't know. I saw some clips of Vrabel at practice, like getting up in Drake May's ass about running downfield to celebrate a touchdown on a training camp pass. Like, come on. Come on, bud. What are we doing? Like, I get it. You're intense. We all get you're intense.
Yeah, the funny part is what a different vibe you get from him than Belichick, right?
Totally different. Totally. As a side note, just because, and this is college football, which I know you pay almost zero attention to during Steelers.
To pay attention.
I know. That's why I'm giving you a pass. But, like, North Carolina's schedule is so soft. They may win 8-9 games this year, and everybody's going to go nuts about Belichick at North Carolina.
Well, not only that is how he's going to sort of outcoach a Pitt coach to a degree where it's going to be embarrassing. You see that one coming, don't you?
I don't want to take shots at Pat, but.
I never saw this play before in my life. Well, it was a draw play, Pat.
That was a play action bootleg. I'm not going to take shots at Pat. I'm not going to do it. You're trying to bait me into doing it.
Oh, he thought I was a damn ice cream guy, sold ice cream for a living, so I can take a shot or two.
Yeah. North Carolina might be sneaky good just based on their schedule. Back to the Stellars and the guy you wrote about yesterday. You ever heard that term RBF, resting bitch face?
Yeah, I was gonna say that to him, but
didn't want to go that far.
Yeah, if I was in the RBI, what did you call him? RBF?
RBF, resting bitch face. You never heard that phrase before?
Yeah, I heard that before.
Yeah. So
like you said, it's just my face. What do you want me to do about it?
Right. That's what Roman Wilson basically said to you the other day. It's my face. What do you want me to do? And
you know, it's a combination of him having the RBI and him feeling some pressure, I think, of what's faced ahead of him. He knows he's not going to get many more chances. This is the year to make up for last year and to make a name for himself. So, he has a chance to become that legit solid number two. And they say Calvin Austin by next year, or we're right back and looking for another receiver, or Calvin's our guy. So it's pretty important to him.
Here's the thing. I went back and watched the Netflix documentary on the whole Michigan scandal. Remember Connor Stallions and all that? And some of the clips from that season when they won the national title, Roman Wilson, we talked about the Ohio State guys yesterday, Will Howard and Jack Sawyer, they're winners, they make plays. Like, that tired old cliche might be a tired old cliche, but, like, it just applies to some guys, and Roman Wilson is one of them, too. Like, at Michigan, especially that year, the dude just made plays. Like, makes catches in traffic, sticks his face in the pile. I mean, if he gets to the level where he's seeing the field consistently – like, I think fans, rightly or wrongly, are going to get a lot of, and I hesitate to make this comparison before he's even started a game in the NFL, they're gonna give some Hines Ward vibes to him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they have to ask for him, too. That's what they – I mean, Zach Cazzoni, their receiver coach, even said, I mean, there's not going to be your typical number two. It's not your T. Higgins. It's not your DJ Moores that they're looking for out of that. They're looking for a little bit of everything, including cracking down on that safety and taking him out. And the funny thing is they have more confidence in the 5'6", 140-pounder right now in Calvin Austin because he's done it and they showed he can do it and he doesn't really care. He'll put his body at harm's way to be able to block like that. So I thought it was interesting what Tomlin, what Roger said about him.
Yeah, hold on. Let me play it. And
that's very interesting.
Let people hear what Rogers had to say about Roman Wilson.
I just got to get Ro out of his head a little bit, you know, because I think he's such a good kid. He cares so much about whether it's my approval or he's doing it right. And he just got to trust himself because he's so damn talented. You know, the more he can play free and not think out there, the better he's going to play. So the more he can just trust what he's got and then just go out and react, the better he's going to play.
So he's in his own head a little bit, Roger says there, and he's got to get him out of that inner head space.
Just trying too hard.
But like you said, there's a ton of pressure on him that if he doesn't get the opportunity to make plays this year, which he didn't get at all last year, whether because of injury or for whatever reason, after he was healthy, they didn't want to use him at all. I understand that pressure. I understand the RBF and the sort of being all caught up in your own head about like, okay, I got to do this. I got to make Rodgers happy. I got to be where he wants to be. I understand that logic from Roman Wilson. And to be honest, from what I've heard and seen from camp, whatever's going on for him right now, he seems to be making some plays at camp. So I don't, maybe he just needs to be one of those guys who's quietly intense. Maybe he gets even better if he loosens up a little bit, like Roger said there. But I mean, like you said, this is the year he's got to make some plays or else they might just move on from him. But I understand why Roman Wilson is kind of caught up in his own head and thinking about, well, what do I have to do to get noticed and actually get on the field?
Yeah, and he can't even think about last year. I mean, you look, Calvin Austin lost his whole rookie season too, and it's taken him some time, but he has climbed that ladder into being a pretty decent receiver. It's not like it's out of the realm of possibility for guys to have poor first years or get hurt and turn themselves into a career. I would like to see the numbers. I'm sure it's not in the favor of the receiver, but I bet you it's close to 50-50. So it's not a death sentence because he didn't play last year. He just has to make sure that it's not. You know, he needs to, like you said, get out of his head, go out there and play freely. However, I just have to think in the back of my head once again, and me being the contrarian, right?
Yeah.
Roman Wilson's looked good when Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, and Joey Porter aren't out there.
So that's why, see, we come back to this argument about how much guys need to play in the preseason. And Roman Wilson and, like, any of the vets, Rodgers, Watt, Hayward, you know, Ramsey, Slay, all the guys we talked about, it's an apples to oranges comparison, obviously, because all the stuff we just talked about with Roman Wilson and trying to prove himself, he's a guy that has to be out there and making plays during the preseason. When else is he going to get the opportunity?
Yeah. I mean, it's certain guys it's more important to. And we know who those guys might be.
Like, he should start on Saturday night, Roman Wilson, I would think, and get a ton of snaps.
Austin hasn't played in a week.
Right. Metcalf's not going to play. Austin's dinged up. Who else is? I would think if they start two wide receivers, which they may not, they may start six tight ends.
That'd probably be.
But it would be Woods and Wilson, I would think.
If Woods even plays, he is a little bit older. I mean, he probably would, but it would definitely be Roman and
Skaronic. I mean, point being, Roman Wilson's going to get plenty of work on Saturday and throughout the preseason, I think.
He might lead the team in snap counts. That's what you have to put him out there to do. He had 5 snaps last year. 5. And he didn't even practice that much because he got hurt 3 days into camp, 4 days into camp, then got hurt 2 more times during the season before they put him on IR. It's not like he had a ton of field action, so the more he gets on the field, the better off he can be. But I just don't think that you need that prototypical number two. I think they got enough talent with Freiermuth, Smith, even Darnell, running backs, Metcalf, that they can have a carved out role for number two that doesn't require a guy to have 70, 80 catches and 8 touchdowns and still be effective.
Yeah. I still think even with all the tight ends, you've got to have somebody who fulfills that number two receiver role. I've been saying this for months, that draws coverage away from Metcalf.
Well, let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
2 weeks of, 2 weeks of practice. I was talking to some guys yesterday. If we're worried about stretching the field, we might be worrying about the wrong team here. Because I bet you the average yards per attempt, air attempt yards by Aaron Rodgers is probably 5 this camp.
Isn't that a problem, though?
I don't know. Either they don't want to do it or they're not going to do it yet. I mean, I don't know. It's either they don't want to do it, they can't do it, or they're waiting to do it.
So this is...
It's a lot of quick stuff, a lot of crossers, a lot of underneath stuff, catch and run stuff right now. I have not seen more than a handful of deep throws from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, not even Aaron Rodgers. Mason Rudolph, maybe you have one. It's not. It's a total different passing offense than Russell Wilson. Moon ball, whatever the hell you wanted to call it.
Right.
Not going to see that. It's going to be quick throws, catch, run, use the speed of Austin. I've said it 100 times. You're going to see DK Metcalf come screeching across the middle, change direction, put it right on him, turn it up the field, and gone. You're going to see that a lot this year. I don't know how much you're going to get. You know, if we're going to sit there and look at PFF and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is worse than the league in air yards. That very well could happen this year.
Which is a bad sign, I think. Like, you've got – I'm not saying I want them to just stand back there and chuck it deep. No, that's not what I'm saying. But, like, you have to have some threat of going over the top occasionally, or else the offense, at least schematically, is going to be dangerously similar to what we saw with Pickett and Trubisky. It's going to be 4 or 5 yard little chunks at a time. And, yeah, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is – miles better than either of those two guys. So he's going to hit guys in stride. And that's why they're probably working on a lot of that stuff early in camp to do exactly what I'm complaining they're not doing in preseason games. Get the timing down, get the chemistry down, cohesion, all those words. Hey, I know exactly where this guy's going to break. And I know Aaron's going to put the ball right here. I understand all that. That's great. But if you got a guy jamming you off the line, even if you're big and strong like DK Metcalf, and then you got another guy sitting inside waiting for you, like some of that, and then your left tackle can't block anybody in pass protection to save his life. And all of a sudden, the quarterback in that 1.8 seconds where he's supposed to get rid of the ball has already got to move his feet. Everything breaks down real quick.
God, are you gloom and doom?
I'm not gloom and doom. I'm saying
anything else you want to happen on one field. Any other thing you want to happen on one play? You can't throw. There's bad blocking, bad offensive coordinator calls, not talent here. Holy cow. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers can't make that throw. I think they'd prefer not to. They have the threat. If they have Austin out there and Wilson out there and they have that threat of taking it down the field, down the seam, I think that might be just as effective. I'm not saying he can't do it. I think they don't want to do it.
My point is, you've got to see it. If I'm an opposing defensive coordinator, I've got to see it on tape a couple times before I worry about it actually happening in a game. Otherwise, I'm going to play 2 high safeties. I'm going to jam everybody at the line, and I'm going to make it impossible for you to pick up more than 5-6 yards at a time. Have fun on 3rd and 8. Well, maybe a tight end screen. We'll line up Jonnu in the backfield. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm trying to poke holes in this theory that they don't need to chuck the ball deep occasionally.
I'm not saying occasionally. I'm just saying it's not going to be Russell Wilson-like.
I wouldn't expect it to be Russell Wilson-like. That's why you bring in Aaron Rodgers.
I don't anticipate that. I mean, you can get big plays without throwing the ball 40 yards down the field. I would like to know their strategy, because that's all we heard last year. It's like, hey, you don't want to take 15 plays to score a drive because you have 15 different chances to screw up.
Exactly.
You have that big chunk but you can still get big chunks. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I've saw Metcalf catch and run and turn it into 40 yards just by a simple, like I said, a cross or a dig, over route, anything like that. Anything over the middle where you just keep running and people can't catch up with him.
Right, and I get it. He's a horse. Like, good luck if you're a safety or a corner getting in front of him and tackling him and taking him to the ground without him dragging you for an extra 2 or 3 yards. I wouldn't want to have to tackle DK Metcalf. Hell, it would just steamroll you. But
a commenter on YouTube, Jamie, but I got a reason to have doom and gloom for the Pirates because they suck. They just, you know what? Just like my old man used to tell me in high school. You just don't try. That's the Pirates. It's just don't try.
Did you see the thing that Pirato wrote yesterday, by the way?
Like, that surprises you, right?
Well, real quick, let me thank our friends at Impact HVAC. You mentioned it's going to be hot in the next couple of days up camp. If your AC isn't doing what you want it to do, you want to get it looked at. Maybe it needs a repair. Maybe just some maintenance. Get it through the rest of the summer. Maybe it's worse than that. You need the thing replaced. The people to call are Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. Check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. They'll come out, take a look at your system, tell you what's working, what isn't, what needs to be fixed or replaced, and take care of you so you can get through this final month, month and a half of the blazing hot temperatures, however long they last. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac as well. What were you saying? You're the one that loses the
Pirates. Buckos.
Oh, the Pirates. Yeah, Pirato's story that their payroll isn't going to increase at all going into next year, and it might actually decrease. Like,
that doesn't surprise me.
But what drives me nuts, and look, I don't think Ben Charrington is the best GM in the world. I'm not going to sit here and pound the desk for Ben Charrington. But like in that story, Pirato mentions that Charrington came in with the pledge from ownership. Yeah, we're going to keep the payroll up around. You're going to have about $100 million a year to spend, which is a little bit closer to reality for a team that might actually want to sneak into a wild card spot occasionally, especially when you've got the one of the two or three best starting pitchers in the world in Paul Skeens. But like they haven't done that once. They haven't. So if I were Ben Charrington, I'd be like, you want to fire me? Okay. Sayonara. I'll take the severance package. I'll see you. You guys haven't given me the ability to do what needs to be done at all.
I don't know why Charrington even sticks around. At some point, you have to be self-preservation. You have to come out and say, man, I'm done. Then have a little press conference or whatever and say, man, this guy just would not let me succeed here. It's not because I am terrible at my job. It's just this guy won't let me do anything. But wasn't there some report about they gave him X amount of money and he can allocate it anywhere he wanted to and he didn't put it towards the roster? I mean, that seems kind of phony to me that he would say, okay, let's put this in the Dominican baseball academy that where we don't see any results from anyways.
Yeah, I don't – if I were the GM, every dollar they gave me would go to major league payroll. Not to say I'd completely abandon the minor league system.
Especially now. But your job's on the line.
When your job's on the line, and again, you've got one of the best starting pitchers in the world, and if you just put a few pieces around him, you'd be able to scratch and fight and claw your way at least into a wild card spot.
You ever been in a job where you're like, man, I just can't take it anymore? This is not, I just gotta go. It might not be the best thing financially for me. I just gotta go. When is Charrington going to get to that point?
Yeah, eventually. Everybody does. Shop and Save on Joseph Street in Baldwin. I couldn't take it anymore. Worked there for 3 weeks. Had to get out of there. Went to the Shop and Save in Castle Shannon. Mm. High school was the time.
I used to work for, what was that newspaper? And it was a weekly. In like Monroeville, I covered like Gateway and Penn Trafford and Norwin. So it's like two weeks, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
That bad?
I had to get out of there. I mean, I think I just left and never came back. I did the old Irish goodbye or whatever.
Nice. You Irish goodbye to job?
I just couldn't take it anymore. It's the only job I ever quit in my life. I just couldn't take it. Well, quit without something better on the horizon.
What was it? Was it just they were just.
It was like I was had to go do like, you know, or what's that? The Lions Club, like stuff, or like I don't even know what it was. Little League stuff. Even if it was Little League, I've done that before. But it was just weird. So, hey, go take a picture of the Lions Club giving $20 to the Penn Trafford Community Center. It's like, what?
Why am I doing this? That's when I knew that sports writing wasn't going to be for me in college, when I signed up to do the Daily Collegian at Penn State. And the first two stories they sent me on, one was to go to a shoe store and write a story about running shoes. And I did that, and I don't even know if it got in. And then I think the next one was I had to go cover like a tennis meet, and it was, I didn't realize it was like a 6-hour day. Like the meet itself was that long, and like there's no scoreboards. It's a college tennis meet. Like yeah. You got to follow every single shot on every single court. And I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? I thought I was going to sign up and get to go to Beaver Stadium day one. That's when I knew, sports writing ain't for me.
I remember covering high school tennis, and I showed up, and I'm like, I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, when are they going to actually start this thing? They're like, they're in the third set already. They keep their own score. I'm like, what?
Just make up the score. Go home.
Oh, my God. I thought they were just warming up. This was a long time ago. But the great thing about those high school journalism newspaper classes is everybody's like, you know, Les Nessman there, man.
Les Nessman. You know, okay. Like, hold on. Old man reference. I love WKRP in Cincinnati. If you're under the age of like 30, 35, by the way, RIP Lonnie Anderson, a Fox in her day. She passed away a couple days ago.
That could have been my first. That could have been my first crush.
Man,
I was like a preteen
when she'd walk in with those tight dresses cut down to about here. She'd saunter in, have a little bit of that shoulder roll when she walked in. Her and Daisy Duke, they awakened something in a young Chris Mack.
Johnny, what's his name? The DJ, what was on WKRP?
Johnny Fever.
Johnny Fever,
yeah,
is that his? Wasn't he always hitting on her?
Yeah, they all were. She's a fox, stone cold fox, Lonnie Anderson back in the day. Go look up WKRP in Cincinnati, kids. It's well worth your time.
Okay, should I say Grantland Rice? What do you want me to say?
I swear to God, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. If you know the show, you know the reference.
Well, my point was that everybody in those things thought they were like the second coming of
Edward R. Murrow or something.
Yeah, something like that. And if it turns out to be, this schlub's the only one that's like in the business right now, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Kind of the story of our lives. We're just these schlubs who happen to be doing this. Before we wrap up, I did want to circle back around to this, because you mentioned Mason Rudolph playing maybe an entire half on Saturday. I know I started to bring this up the other day, but like, I think you got to protect Mason too. Like, I'd only give Mason a couple series. I'd get him out of there. And fine, if it's the Skylar Thompson show all preseason, then that's what it is. They're preseason games, like we've talked about. They don't mean a damn thing. I don't want Mason out there to get hurt either. Cause then if Mason gets hurt, now the fail safe, the whole reason you signed him in the offseason to be the break glass in case of Aaron Rodgers' emergency is out the window too. So protect Mason.
I don't think you have much of a choice there, right?
Yeah, you do. You just play Skylar Thompson the whole damn game. Who cares? I mean,
you can put the number two quarterback out there and protect him. Hand the ball off 90% of the time. Do the screen passes. I mean, if you're going to get hurt, you can get hurt walking into SoFi Stadium and tearing your Achilles, you know.
I've heard that happen before. To someone before.
So anything can happen. It's just you can protect him. I mean, nobody says he has to go back and drop back and throw the ball 35 times with 7 set drops.
But it takes one.
Dylan Cook is your right tackle.
It takes one overzealous third team outside linebacker who's trying to make a name for himself, who, you know, hits him a little too late. Or, you know, wraps them up below the knees, and before you know it, your backup quarterback's done too.
Can't play this game scared, Mac.
Yeah, whatever. I'll coach it scared. That would be an excuse, and we don't make them. We do not seek comfort. Whatever other Tomlinism may apply in that area. I don't know. I just wouldn't play Mason a ton in the preseason either. There's just no reason to. You know what he can do, and you don't want, when you've got a 41-year-old starting quarterback, you don't want your backup, who you've trusted to start a playoff game for you before, by the way, you don't want your backup getting hurt.
Well, you don't want.
If the theory is we don't want anybody breathing on Rodgers, okay, fine. I'll follow that logic. But if that's your logic, then it's also got to apply to Rudolph in this case, I think.
Okay, why are you playing Mason? Why are you playing Mason McCormick then? Why are you playing Zach Frazier then? You can say that with everybody. Why would you play Nick Herbig? Oh, there goes the depth.
No, if Nick Herbig gets hurt, you've still got your two starters, right? And I understand you're going to say, well, if Mason Rudolph gets hurt, you still got Aaron Rodgers. Well, it's a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, right? If he gets hurt and Rudolph's out, you're screwed. Skylar Thompson's your starting quarterback.
I'm just trying to see who's available out here.
There's
Logan Woodside.
Logan, yeah, somebody Woodside. Mentioned Logan Woodside in the chat coming in for a visit. I don't know if that's true or not.
Jake Fromm, Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, my God.
CJ Beathard. What's Tyler Palko doing nowadays?
I don't know. Probably coaching at West A. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, they just – I don't know. Let Skylar Thompson play the entire preseason game. Let Mason Rudolph get a series at the beginning. Chuck one or two balls downfield. Get him out of there before he gets hurt too. Now I'm all panicked. I don't know why. I'm feeling a sense of dread and panic.
Yeah, for no reason.
Probably.
Maybe there has to be somebody out there, like even a rookie that wasn't picked.
I don't know what the list of undrafted free agent quarterbacks looks like. They're probably all in camps somewhere, right?
No, I wouldn't say all of them, right?
Well, most of them.
How about a guy like Chandler Morris from...
Who? Who?
Jerry Bohannon from BYU, Elite Athletic Skills.
Who said he had... First of all, I don't even know who that guy is. Second of all, who said he had elite athletic skills?
NFL draft buzz, whatever that is. I'm looking at potentially rookies.
You know what they could do? This is what I like to suggest.
Daniels.
Who?
Rice.
I like John's suggestion. I like John's suggestion. Just grab the fourth stringer from Jacksonville and hand him a jersey and let him play quarterback for you.
Green from West Virginia.
Oh, there you go.
You don't have to pay him anything. Tell him to drive up the road.
You don't have to pay him anything.
Oh, don't tell me you think that doesn't come into account? Oh, my rear end, it doesn't.
No, I just like the fact that you think they can call up some guy from West Virginia and be like, listen.
I don't even know if he's from West Virginia. I just know he went to West Virginia.
That's a good question. I don't think he is, actually. By the way, speaking of West Virginia, they're going to be bad this year. I know you don't pay any attention to college football, but no, Garrett Green's from Florida.
Well, maybe he's living in Morgantown.
Sure. I'm sure he's still hanging out in an apartment on High Street.
Well, so much for that. He's a wide receiver for Tampa Bay. Maybe he can play both, right?
Do you see why we can't afford to have Mason get hurt?
Yeah, wasn't he both a receiver and the – I don't follow West Virginia. Well, the bottom line is there's not many options.
Right. So you protect Mason. Too.
What's his name that was from the Pine Richland or whatever? Ben DiNucci.
DiNucci. I don't know. Where is Ben? I don't think he's in a camp anywhere, is he?
Or did he officially, unofficial return up? Buffalo Bills.
See? I mean,
nobody has anybody.
Nobody has anybody. So protect Mason is my point.
Well, here's Wait. The point now in 3 weeks.
Oh, I did hear about this. Justin just said the Nooch is, and I think he's talking about the Nucci. Maybe he's talking about somebody else. Maybe Palco. I don't know. I've lost track of all the fourth string local product quarterbacks.
Maybe they can get through the next game or so and practices. And when they cut a bunch of quarterbacks in August 26th and they need somebody to come in for a week or two, maybe that's where you, maybe that's the route you take.
Yeah, just to take some preseason snaps.
The 26th would be what? That's, is that before the final game?
You got 26th of August?
Yeah. The preseason isn't over by then, is it?
It might be really close. Hold on. You're going to make me look it up now because I have no idea. Justin apologizes. It's Tino Cinceri, who's the OC for Indiana.
Oh, very similar.
DiNucci and Cinceri. Why are you being...
Tino.
I can't, why are you being anti-Italian?
I can't even tell my Tino story.
Why? That bad or that funny?
Both.
So the last preseason game is the 21st of August. So, yeah, the 26th of August would be after the last preseason. Yeah,
at that point, I mean, you're screwed. So, I don't think they're going to bring anybody in. I just don't know.
This hammers my point home. Protect Mason. Don't play him too much.
Scotty Miller, maybe? Maybe he could take some snaps. I don't know.
All right. Well, we've theorized enough
Chino
about
Tino Cinceri.
Tino.
What happened to Central? Never mind.
We've theorized enough about extra camp arms. It's probably not going to happen. You just hope that nobody else gets hurt. Hope that nobody gets hurt Saturday night in the preseason game. That's always the first concern. Yeah, Craig's right. The Browns have accumulated all the quarterbacks, and even two of them are hurt, I think. Yeah. I think Shadur's starting their game. We do have preseason football tonight, Kaboom. How about that?
Forget about that. I'm wondering why you got a Howard Stern book behind you.
What? Why do I have a Howard Stern book behind
me? Why is it prominently displayed?
Because he's a legend in radio.
Well, when he was Fart Man.
I mean, Fart Man was pretty legendary.
Crackhead Bob was my favorite.
Crackhead Bob. How many three preseason games tonight, Kaboom? You going to sit around and do some advanced scouting? Colts, Ravens, Bengals, Eagles? Joe Burrow's going to play in the first preseason game.
By the time I get out of here and get home.
That's a no.
It's probably past my bedtime.
That's a no. All right. Let's wrap it up for today. Next time you hear from us, we will be live at the third annual Maine's Family Golf Outing to benefit the American Heart Association. That is on Saturday afternoon. We'll probably get started right around 12 o'clock or so. We'll be live. Of course, you can watch it after the fact, assuming our technology holds up, which, as you know, with Kabali and Mac is always a question mark, about 50-50. No, seriously. Maybe 60-40. But we're looking forward to being out there and saying hi to everybody who's out there. If you're going to be out there at the third annual Maine's Family Golf Outing, stop by and say hi too. We just come right on. You won't have to put something in the chat. You can just walk over and talk to us. We don't care. Yeah, we're looking forward to that on Saturday. Kaboom's got his Stillers Jags watch party Saturday night down at Archie's. Get Arch. There for that. Don't forget to follow on Instagram. If you're one of the first 500 followers on Instagram, you'll have a shot at that Yoli's gift certificate, $100 for you and the fam to go get some dinner there. Fantastic food, a couple drinks as well, maybe, if that's your deal. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, because once we get to 2,500 subscribers, we're going to give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball before he gets his massive contract extension, right, Kaboom?
$500 million.
Sure. I'll hold my breath and see what happens.
Pirates might not spend $500 million in the next 10 years.
I have people, friends, and a couple other people on social media who are convinced this is all part of a plan to tank attendance for the next few years so that when the lease is up at PNC Park, they can get a better deal somewhere else.
I don't think. Do you think Major League Baseball would allow that?
I don't think, but crazier stuff has happened. The Browns left Cleveland once, remember?
Yeah, because they wouldn't build them a new stadium, right?
Right. I'm not saying it all adds up yet, but a couple more years of this crap. There's enough people already that don't like going to games because they're tired of handing their money over to a guy who won't spend it on the team. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, it's the reason why people are billionaires.
Because they don't spend their money?
They rip you off.
All right. Thanks to the Dan Heck team, as always. HeckTeamHomes.com for presenting Cabali and Mac. H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them and all yins as well for joining us here today on Cabali and Mac. We'll talk to yins over the weekend from the Mains family golf outing. See you then. Bye.